Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and once again, we would like to welcome you to our program today on the Socialist Insight. Today, we have as our guest is Alan Mackey. Alan Mackey, he comes on our program on a regular basis. Actually, he's supposed to be here on the line today. I'm not certain if he's there. Are you there, Alan?
Yep, I'm here.
Just in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Okay. And we have Alan, he's joining us today. We're going to be discussing a very interesting topic. And the topic today is relevant to what we see happening around the world in Cyprus, in Greece, in France, in the U.S. And the question is it socialism? Is it austerity or is it capitalism? And Alan, again, I would like to welcome you to our program today.
Well, thanks for having me, Stuart.
Alan, you know, we see a lot of talk on TV where they talk about the sequester and they talk about austerity. And sometimes when I talk to people from time to time when I'm talking about austerity, a lot of people don't even understand what austerity is all about. They don't understand what the sequester is all about. And it vastly impacts the lives of everyone in this country. Alan, just very briefly, could you explain to our listeners, first of all, what the sequester is about? And secondly, just give a definition of what austerity is about so our listeners can understand what potentially the damaging effects that it has on working people. Could you explain what austerity is all about?
Yeah, austerity is really a very simple It's very simple to understand, but they've made it very complicated. Austerity, what it amounts to in this day and age, is that we have all these wars taking place and the militarism, the building up to these wars. And this cost a lot of money. It cost the government, literally billions and trillions of dollars. And austerity comes into play because they're making the working people pay for these wars through these austerity measures. Part of those austerity measures are cutting Social Security. Other parts of those austerity measures are these user fees that they're placing on everything at the local levels. Another part of the austerity measures are increasing tuitions at the universities. In other words, instead of the government funding social programs that people need, they're pumping this money into the military, so the people have to end up paying for what the government should be paying for in the first place. That's what austerity is.
Now, we see a strong correlation about what took place in the 70s, late 60s, especially in the 70s, when the Vietnam War was coming to an end, and that was a war that was costing billions of dollars. It was a 10-year war, and it was very costly to the American people. And then we could see the effects where the cost of various services, social services, and cutbacks and programs and high unemployment that took place then. And it was because of a 10-year war then. And now we've been involved in another war that has actually gone beyond 10 years, this war that is going on, the occupation now of Iraq and also in Afghanistan. And this war has cost this country alone, it has cost us well over $3 trillion, and that number is still going. Now, when you look at the correlation of what took place in the 70s, and of course, what took place in the 70s was the high cost on various services and like that, and also what is taking place now. Where do you see the correlation between the Vietnam War, the 70s, and what has taken place here in 2013?
Well, there was severe inflation during the 70s, but you know, even Richard Nixon used some price controls to control that inflation. Obama and the Democrats haven't even considered price controls. Gas prices are soaring out of, I mean, they're sky high right now. They're soaring out of sight. The same thing with food prices. These Democrats should have invoked price controls months ago. We're going to see inflation shoot out of sight in this country. And that can't be helped because when you have this kind of militarism and these wars that have to be financed, this is what pushes inflation. You know, when a government has to pay for not only the wars, but these occupations, which are more expensive than the wars themselves, and the government's willing to pay any price, you know, literally what the market will bear for anything that these big monopolies, the oil monopolies and everything ask that they pay to finance these wars and occupations, that forces prices up for all of us. And
Go ahead.
And, you know, we've just got to put an end to this militarism. People are going to in this country are going to have to understand what imperialism is doing to this country. We have not paid for the Vietnam War. We haven't even paid for the Spanish-American War back before the turn of the century in the 1900s.
Right.
And, you know, those wars are still going on in many ways because we're keeping the people of Puerto Rico, you know, we're keeping them occupied. And we still have troops in the Philippines fighting against the people that want their freedom there. So, you know, the Spanish-American War has now been going on for over 100 years. We have
right.
the Korean occupation, which is costing us billions and billions of dollars every year. We have the military bases in Germany. We have over 800 military bases all over the world. I mean, this is costing us a fortune. We don't even know what this is costing us. When they talk about $3 trillion for the war in Iraq or Afghanistan or the combination of those wars, that's nothing compared to what the occupations are going to cost us.
Oh, the occupations. And also, when you look at when we leave those countries, we still have to pay for to restore those economies, such as what happened in Germany right after World War One, and what happened in much of the European theater right after World War Two. But as you mentioned, we're still paying for these wars 100 years later, 50 years later, Vietnam War, we're still paying for that. And there's a direct correlation between these wars and austerity. But when we look at austerity measures that are taking place, Alan, in not only in this country, but what is taking place around the world, and we're going to talk about some of those other countries, such as France and Spain and Cyprus and many other countries where that they're suffering the same effects of what we have here. It really boils down to capitalism. It boils down to these wars, imperialism, and all of it falls right there on the backs and on the shoulders of working class people.
Right.
Now, as I mentioned, when we look at the cost of these wars, a lot of this, when we start talking about this sequester, back to the sequester, because a lot of people say, they were asking, what is this sequester about? What is it all about? But the sequester, basically, what we're talking about austerity measures right there, because we're talking about making various cuts in various social services, making much of what we see for education, monies that are available for education, cuts there. When we look at private sector jobs, cuts there. Pensions, benefits, we're looking at cuts straight up across the board, and Congress has given the president just a blanket of where he can make cuts. This, when we talk about sequester, that is the same thing here in this country as we see taking place in other parts of the world. Am I correct?
Correct. The important thing, I think, for the American people to understand about these so-called sequesters, what's going to happen, they've said that these are temporary measures. What we have seen in the past is that when they've invoked these temporary measures to cut social programs, they are never refunded to their original levels. And we've seen this in with the Indian Health Service. The Indian Health Service was cut, even though the Congress says that it's supposed to be maintained at whatever level it takes to provide those services. the Indian Health Service has been cut as a result of these sequesters, and people are now suffering terribly because of these cuts. And those cuts will never be restored, not ever again.
And that's happening right there in your part of the country,
yeah,
even in Minnesota just recently.
It's terrible because here in northern Minnesota on the three major Indian reservations, I mean, we have huge Indian reservations here, three of them, and the unemployment rate at all three of those Indian reservations is no less than 60%. Massive poverty. And it's, the only health care people have is through the Indian Health Service. And people aren't being able to go to the doctor when they need to. They're being made to wait days upon days to get the most basic services. You know, this is terrible. And Obama and members of Congress are breaking the law because the law says that the Indian Health Service is supposed to be maintained at a level sufficient to provide whatever services are needed. Now, they spend whatever money they want on these wars. Nobody in Congress, Obama's not questioning the money spent on wars and militarism. They just go ahead and okay all these and approve all these expenditures on war and militarism. And yet when it comes to things that people need, they say that they don't have enough money for it, and they're cutting, and it's never going to be restored, not without a great big fight on the part of the people. We see that fight developing in Greece and in France and Italy and Portugal and Spain.
Oh, yeah, hasn't finished yet.
Yeah, and we're going to have to fight the same way. And what people don't understand is that the bankers in this country, the banks are in such big trouble. They're trying to push their problems onto the peoples of other countries, and that's what's causing the problems in Greece and these other countries. Those countries are still paying for the Marshall Plan from World War II, and that's where the problem really starts for Greece and these other countries, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and they will never pay back what they were given under the Marshall Plan, and you know we're trying to force them to pay that back now, and because they're trying to force them to pay it back to solve the problems of the bankers here in this country. The big
In that sense, the Marshall Plan was a complete disaster as far as it wasn't any means to really pay for that other than to create future debt for working people.
Exactly. And that debt is coming home to roost right now.
And the way that it should have been resolved is not to create the problem as wars and more wars. Essentially, that's what happens. We're creating a means by which big corporations and the military-industrial complex, they're making billions and trillions of dollars from exacting these wars, and then the debt falls on working people that they got to pay the debt anywhere from 50 to 100, 200 years later, where their children, their great-grandchildren, and into you know the future need to pay this debt, and we can see that today.
Right, and that's what we're experiencing today.
Now, what you mentioned when we talk about where people can understand what austerity is about and also what we can see here in this country, a good example is what is taking place there, right there in Cyprus. I mean, just recently, you can see from Cyprus, they received a term for a bailout. But, and of course, this is, if you want to look at a clear example of austerity, you can look at just that country, and what has taken place there is just completely devastating to those people. Can you explain just in detail, just very briefly, what has taken place there in Cyprus, Alan?
Okay, in Cyprus, several years ago, a communist government was elected in Cyprus, and the United States has been trying to get that communist government out of Cyprus for the entire time that it's been in existence. The Communist Party in Cyprus took majority control of the government apparatus there in Cyprus. And what happened is that the CIA went into Cyprus and created a big explosion there that killed people and did a lot of damage. And they blamed it on the communist president of Cyprus. And they did that in order to bring conservatives to power in Cyprus. The communists would have taken over the banking industry and nationalized it, and this was infuriating Wall Street. So what they did is they created this big bomb explosion and got a conservative in government, and now that conservative is pushing severe austerity measures on the people of Cyprus who are already quite poor. And you know, the people are having to fight back, and there's going to be a big movement there in Cyprus. For the communists just barely lost the election. I mean, it was a very close election to start with, and there's no doubt about it that if that explosion wouldn't have taken place, the communists would have been reelected, and the banking industry in Cyprus, you know, would have been nationalized and brought under public ownership. And
now, what we can see is the International Monetary Fund, what they have done is with the various things that they have come in as far as programs that they, conditions for helping to build this country out, it is just going to be completely devastating for pay and the conditions for working people. I mean, essentially what they're doing is they are going after the working class. And when I say going after the working class, they're going after them with total brutality.
Yeah.
Now, when I some of the things what I look at would be various things for pensions and also for even for people's basic services, for health care, for education. A lot of programs now being required by the EU, where they're going to be required to privatize many corporations, lands, public lands. All of this are conditions of this austerity measure, and we can see the similarities here in this country as well, Alan.
Yeah, there are huge movements now in the European countries to fight back against this privatization. The public water systems are being privatized, the sewage systems, everything that has, even the postal systems, you know, everything that used to be public in the European countries, they're trying to shove privatization down the people's throats now. That's the banker's payment back for not being able to pay on these the interest on these loans and the debt. So this is the way how they're extracting this from people. And people are seeing their, you know, it's happening in Canada even, our neighbor to the north. We can see where the water systems are being privatized, power systems, and people are experiencing double and triple the rates of what the public enterprises previously provided them with, you know. And this is going on all over the world. And this is the way, you know, the bankers insist that they sell these in order to pay off the debts. And then they put these into the hands of private corporations who are the friends of these bankers. And these people are just ripping the public off left and right. And we're seeing that in our own country. We're beginning to see the privatization of the public water systems. School buses, many of the schools are being forced and pressured by the banks because of all these bonding proposals that have had these high interest rates. They're being forced to sell their the public busing systems for the schools to these private busing firms. One of them is Vielo, the same company that's involved in privatization in France and all these European countries and in Canada, and now is active in this country. Garbage disposal, the garbage systems, the public city garbage systems are being turned over to this Viola company and as they're being privatized, and people are paying three, four, five, six times the rate for their garbage to be hauled away as what they were before by the city garbage system.
Now, what I see, Alan, when we look at the deep cuts that these banks are requiring to be made on various public services and to governments and municipalities and the schools, healthcare. But on the other hand, while they want austerity measures issued in here in the U.S., where it's going to be a sequester, where it's going to attack all the services and things that's going to benefit working people. But on the other hand, we see money is being just dished out left and right for big corporations, making certain that they are funded, making certain that monies are going for the military. We see that the Federal Reserve, the Feds now, they're dumping $85 billion into this economy. And I tell you, Wall Street is just they're having a ball, $85 billion a month.
Well, that's part of austerity, is that these bankers make money on the problems of the people. And, you know, if you look at the term sequester itself, what does sequester mean? Like, and when somebody sequesters themselves, they sort of hide themselves away.
Right, they put themselves away.
Yeah, now it's become that sequester means general cut in government spending. Well,
right.
You know, but what they're really
doing, where the people don't know what's going on.
Exactly. They're hiding it from the people.
That's why I sequester. We're going to do it behind closed doors. We don't want you to know what's going on.
Exactly.
There's no accountability to the people that are going to eventually have to pay the debt back.
Right. And, you know, we see it in rising gas prices. I just noticed today the Democratic Party political hacks are heaping praise on Amy Klobuchar for looking after us as these gas prices rise. You know, I ask the question, how is she looking after us? How is Obama looking after us? How are these Democrats looking after us? They should be instituting price controls on this gas and rolling back the price of gas. There's no reason.
Exactly.
There is no reason at all for the price of gas to be going up, except these corporations are ripping us off and we're being robbed at the pumps. That's what it's all about, and they should be stopped. The real penalty these oil companies should pay is that they should be nationalized. You know,
right.
This is a crime. If you or I did what the oil companies are doing to the American people today, we would be sitting behind bars.
Oh, yeah. It would be brutal what they'd be doing. The thing is, people need to understand, our listeners need to understand, when you look at the oil companies, and we're talking about sequester and austerity programs for working people, and then we're talking about how they will have various programs that's going to benefit big corporations. We have these corporations, some of them, the people that are listening to this program today are paying more in taxes than these big corporations.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they are receiving various benefits and incentives and also being subsidized by the government. In other words, they're receiving a check for ripping us off.
What's taking place through the sequester, which is a method of enforcing austerity, is a massive transfer of wealth from the poorest people back up to the very richest people. And, you know, people are going to have to understand that that's what this is all about. What's going on in this country and around the world is we have a massive transfer of wealth taking place. Wealth that's actually been created by working people in the first place. And they're taking what little of the wealth that working people have been getting, they're taking that away from them now and transferring that money to the very, very wealthiest people in the world.
It's going to the wealthiest people.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people, and what we're talking about today, Alan, this is affecting every country, working people around the world, because when we look, the things that we're talking about, people talk about the economic superpowers such as China, and they talk about Japan, and they talk about the U.S., but this country is a massive debt. And I was, you know, something I was thinking about just before we came on the show today is even when you think about China and how it has emerged as an economic giant, but it has a very symbiotic relationship with the U.S. because our economy and what is feeding the Chinese economy is nothing but debt. We are creating debt. People here are making purchases, creating debt. The nation is presently, we have almost $17 trillion of debt that's been declared. But when you look at every country, whether it's China, whether it's India, whether it's Japan, the U.S., what the banks are creating and what is happening in the world economy, capitalism, the cost of feeding the super rich and the capitalists is bringing us to economic disaster worldwide.
Exactly.
And then we're going to talk about some of these other countries. But, I mean, do you see the correlation and the connection and what is taking place on the global level?
Sure. Because the United States economy is the major economy in the world, what happens here is going to affect every single person on this planet. And it's sort of like water. A raindrop drops in a river, and that water ends up, it all goes into the ocean. Well, the same thing is happening with our economy. You know, the American economy is literally, it's collapsing.
It's collapsing.
People have to realize that, because if you look at the most people in this country, millions of people, they work for wages. Their wages can no longer even cover their bare necessities of life. let alone go to the store and purchase, you know, little things that they need or want. So those purchases are all being made on credit cards. You know, people
right.
are even buying the food that they need to feed their families now. A lot of them are buying that food on credit cards.
On credit cards.
And there's,
exactly.
there's, it's not like anybody can come and take that food back if they can't pay that debt. And this is building up, and it's building up, and it's building up. And you've got this great, they call it a bubble, and this bubble is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's got to burst. And, you know, we're going to face bubble burst after bubble burst. You got the student debt that's getting ready to burst. You got the consumer credit bubble that's getting ready to burst. You got a housing market that still is unstable, that where people are being evicted and foreclosed with their homes. And there's no end in sight. It's just one major crisis after another. And for working people, it's become a crisis of everyday living. People have to scrape and scrounge to make ends, just to try to make ends meet, and they still can't, not even if they're working two or three jobs.
Right. And what you're saying in regards to workers and people just trying to make ends meet, here, when again, I'm going to go back to Cyprus, some of the austerity measures that have been, that country has been imposed on that country by the IMF and by the European Union, and many of those austerity measures will require them to make cuts in various for public sector workers. In other words, where they require to get rid of thousands upon thousands of jobs. You have to realize that public sector jobs, what this does, it creates more jobs for other people within those communities. It helps to feed families, but this is being imposed upon that nation. But we see the same thing taking place right here in this nation as well. One of the things I found very interesting about what took place in Cyprus, because this is a good model, it's not a good model, I should say it's a model of what could take place anywhere around the world. You have to realize that the banks have put every country now on its radar. Every country is in the target zone. One of the things that they have mentioned, any of the public lands can be put up for liquidation. And we see the same thing taking place in this country. I don't know if, Alan, you're aware of it. This was several months ago when they were looking at the debt that was created by the U.S. government and the piling. This was actually in 2011 and 2012, where they were talking about, where it was mentioned about selling many of our public parks and many of the public lands. This was saying we're going to put public lands, parks, right on the chopping block and turning it over to the private corporations where they could purchase it. But this is part of what austerity measures, what it's all about.
Right. With the national parks and the state parks, the other thing that they're doing is they're not only selling a lot of the land, they're allowing the private profiteers to come in and take over what used to be like public cabin. If you could go in a national park and rent a little cabin or something, they're turning all this over to the private sector now. Sometimes
exactly.
They say they're turning it over for the private sector to just manage and not own, but the private sector is taking all the profits out, so the taxpayers get nothing back. And you know, this is going on all over the place in this country now. You see big motels and hotels and even casinos being built in national parks in this country. And that's the that's what the bankers are demanding in return for their interest rates, because so many of these, you know, the states and stuff can no longer pay on their debt. Like you got a huge city like Detroit. I mean, it'll never be able to repay its debt, not in 100 years. And the bankers are extracting everything from the working people. They're forcing lower wages. Part of austerity is forcing lower wages on working people, especially on public sector workers, but also on people working in private industry. When they force wages down in the public sector, that's like a club over the head of all workers, and it forces all wages down. So, you know,
yeah. Now, the people, our listeners, they need to understand how the trail of money, how it happens here. Because what happens is the bank, they create debt. They loan money. They loan money for wars. They loan money for the government to help pay for various services or whatever. And then afterwards, they say, you owe us this money back.
Right.
And then your various parks and public workers and benefits that we have as people within that country or whatever, now they say you need to make sacrifices. You need to liquidate your lands. You need to cut back on jobs that is providing essential services for people to pay us back. In other words, they loan you the money, and then they want the money back, all the money back, and they want it with interest.
Right.
So it's very revolving what is taking place here. It's a lose-lose situation for working people. It doesn't benefit you. So austerity is something that is created by the banks, is created by the wealthiest people in the world, and is created with the intent that you're going to pay us pay back more than what you give, what we give, and we're going to require you to possibly liquidate everything that's of importance to you, including your public lands and also various jobs and things that is going to be beneficial for your families and your well-being. Am I correct, Alan?
Correct. And one place where we really see this happening before our very eyes is within our public schools. You see public schools being closed left and right in this country. And what happens with these schools? They're turned over to be turned into apartment buildings and everything and into the private sector. And that's because the schools, every single school in this country has enormous debt. They've passed bond proposals to build new schools. They've passed bond proposals to finance the day-to-day operations of these schools. These bond proposals are nothing but debt. They're debt to the bankers who buy these bonds. Nobody else can buy these bonds except the wealthy bankers because the bonds are so expensive. And so the way that with the unemployment and everything the way it is, people can't pay their property taxes, so the schools aren't getting their money. And eventually these banks force the schools to sell the very schools that they financed the building of. And you see this in Chicago, you see it in Detroit, you see it all over the country where all these schools are being sold. The old high school I used to go to, they said that it wasn't fit for students anymore, that it was going to collapse. And yet if you drive by that school today, it's the old Union High School in Grand Rapids, Michigan, it says, school is cool. And they have these big apartments that they sell to people for enormous prices. It's been turned over to this real estate firm. And that's because the schools, you know, are having to sell off their property because they cannot afford to pay back the interest on these debts. And that's what the school closings are all about. People look at these schools and say, why would they close a nice school like that with all these little kids in the neighborhood? Well, they have to close the schools because they have to turn those schools over to the banks, the bankers' friends, to make money on, so the bankers are getting back the money that they loaned and the interest.
And the same thing happened to a school I went to in Newport News, Virginia, when I was in high school at Ferguson High. And here is a school that was actually closed down, a very good school, for the facilities that it offered. It was a relatively new school when I went there in the 60s. And here they closed the school down, tore down many of the buildings, whatever, and then they turned it over to a private college, where now people that had access to this very nice facility, now it was turned over to a private institution. And this is, as you mentioned, Alan, is happening all over the country.
Yeah, and people are going to have to be able to connect the dots pretty soon. And, you know, as socialists, we're going to have to help people do that because the news media just spews so much confusion day in and day out. People don't understand what austerity is. They don't understand what the sequester is all about. They don't understand what's happening to their school systems, why the schools are being closed. You know, people don't understand. They're asking why. Why is this happening? And there's got to be explanations, and there are explanations, but the major media, if you look at who owns them, it's these same bankers and big businesses. So, you know, they're confusing the people and making so that the people don't understand economics in this country.
or well, essentially, Alan, they actually own our whole government now. They actually own Washington, D.C. Those people in Washington are only the functionaries of the big banks. They're in big banks of the world, and that's the way it is.
We've got dictatorship by finance capital now in this country and around the world.
Now, one of the what I look at also, I mean, this is an excellent model when you see what is taking place there in Cyprus, because we see the same thing. We're not calling it austerity measures here, but we have a prettier name, something that people may not understand because it's done in secret. We call it a sequester. One of the things under the terms of the agreement they had for the bailout there in Cyprus was even the cost of living adjustments, the COLA, where it was, and usually most people, working people, understand that the cost of living is based on the calculation of indexed to the cost of living. But what they have done is they have actually, where it was time for every 6 months for any type of adjustments, for them to make adjustments in the COLA, now is done every year. And they, even if depending on the economic conditions of Cyprus, they can even suppress that. In other words, no cost of living increases based on how well the economy performs. Alan, this is nothing but criminal. It's completely criminal.
Yeah, well, you know, this Bernanke guy that's the head of the Federal Reserve, he's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he said that he didn't even want to hear the word austerity being used in this country.
Right. They don't like that word. It's a bad word.
Yeah, it is, because it obviously implies that conditions are getting very bad for people, you know, and that people are being forced into poverty, and they don't want to admit that. But that's what we have. We have the impoverization of the working class all over the world, including right here in our own country. And it's going to keep getting worse until people begin to fight back. We have to start talking about taking this power away from Wall Street. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, we need to reform capitalism and stuff. We need to regulate it better. But what people don't understand is that capitalism is a system that evolves over time. And we're in the highest stage of capitalism now, and that's imperialism, where we got war after war after war. And, you know, the only measures that this government sees is violence against other people to control them. And that violence is eventually going to end up being used against the American people, too. I mean, we've seen that in the Occupy movement, where the police beat and gassed people. Well, what's going to happen when people start to, you know, really protest massively against the loss of their homes, the fact that they can't provide their families with food? People are going to take to the streets, and we're going to see this government use massive violence against its own people. And,
well, Alan, that's where austerity eventually, where it lands at. That's exactly where it ends up at.
We see it very clearly in countries like Greece and Portugal, where the police have just become vicious and beating people. They think that they can beat this protest spirit out of people, not realizing that the people are resisting their standard of living being reduced to nothing. And they think that by beating people that this can solve the problem, and it can't. The only thing that can solve the problem is major reforms that are going to be required to help people live better lives as we figure out a better system as an alternative to capitalism. I think that better system, the only system that I know of, is socialism. And that's going to happen.
Alan, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. I just want to mention we have Alan Mackey. He comes on our program every other week. And today we're talking a very interesting subject. Is it austerity or is it capitalism? And people need to understand that what takes place with austerity, it has capitalism written all over it. So we're going to get a little bit more into our program today. And, Alan, I just want to take a pause where you can just give some contact information, how people can reach you. Take about 30 seconds for that, and then we're going to get right back into our program.
Sure. My telephone number is 651-587-5541. That's my cell phone. My home telephone number is 218-386-2432. People can email me. All that information is on my blog, the Podunk blog. just Google Alan Mackey, A-L-A-N-M-A-K-I, and you'll come to my blog, and all my contact information is on there.
Good. Very good, Alan. Now, Alan, when we, you know, I just want to focus a little bit more when we see what has taken place in New York, there on Wall Street, and they say how they're breaking all kinds of records or whatever. I see that as nothing more than illusion, because right now I'm going to touch on what the last, where we ended the last thing, but I wanted to just touch very briefly, talk a little bit about this illusion and the conditions in relationship to the condition that this country is in today. I don't see that Wall Street, the gains on Wall Street, has anything to do with this economy recovering. What do you see?
Well, it doesn't have anything. That's a fact. It doesn't have anything It doesn't have anything to do with the economy recovering, because the economy isn't recovering. These Wall Street parasites are making money on our problems, and that's an austerity. This austerity, they're making money off of the austerity that they're forcing upon the people. This is where the money is being made right now on Wall Street. The money is being made by everything from manufacturing to the banks, and the less workers are paid, as workers' wages are pushed down, these people on Wall Street make more. And, you know, that's the way it is. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's capitalism. And
Alan, they're making money now just by printing it. They're making it to the tune of Wall Street, to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars.
Yeah, they're printing that money now, $85 billion a month. But the problem is, it's the American taxpayer that's on the hook for that money. And so that's going to require even more austerity measures. You know, we're borrowing, we're printing this money to give to the banks, who in turn are lending this money back to the government at interest rates. And it doesn't matter how much the interest rate is, it's all profit, sheer profit for them. So we're feeding them money to loan us money back. It makes no sense at all. We should be taking over these banks and nationalizing them, creating a national bank, a national federal bank. We should have state banks like the State Bank of North Dakota, and everything should be financed through these government banks. That's the way we should be doing things if we really want to solve any problems in a way that the people are going to increase their standard of living. I mean, that's what we're really talking about. Right now, the rich are increasing their standard of living. We should be looking in at improving the standard of living of working people. That's what we want. And that's going to take major reforms. Not reforming capitalism, but creating the kind of reforms like a higher minimum wage, you know, raising food stamp allowances, making tuitions less. You know, these are the kind of reforms that can help working people a little bit get by as we figure out how to get rid of this rotten capitalist system. I mean, I think half the people in this country at least now realize that there's something drastically wrong with the system that we have.
Oh, the majority of people have already awakened to that. We just need to make certain that more people with programs like this, that more people start waking up.
Yeah, we've got to make people aware that, you know, socialism is the alternative. You know, capitalism is the banker system, socialism is a worker system, and that's the message that has to be pushed through.
Now, Alan, one of the other things I wanted to get back to, when we see, I want to delve a little bit more into the long-term effects. And there are many long-term effects of austerity, and also what we see taking place with the U.S. imperialism and capitalism. That's what it leads to. But when I look at, even on a local level, when the police, when they show up in communities these days, Alan, it looks like a war zone. I mean, they're showing up with tanks and armament and all sorts of sophisticated weapons, all kinds of gear. It looks like they're already preparing for the worst. What's going on? It's happening not only here in California, but it's happening across the country. Not across the country, it's happening around the world. Are they getting ready for the global collapse of capitalism?
Well, yeah, they know that it's coming. You know, they're very aware of that. That was evidenced in an article in Time magazine that was headlined Marx's Revenge. You know, and Time magazine was preparing these capitalists for this collapse that's coming. there's no doubt about it that the collapse is coming. They're preparing for it. You know, in 2008, we had a big demonstration at the Republican National Convention here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I was marching next to Mayor Rybeck, the mayor of Minneapolis, and his wife. And we had to go through this gauntlet of police that were, I mean, they were dressed, you know, ready to riot in all this gear and everything. And she turned to him and said, "My God, what kind of monsters have you brought into our community?" That's what the wife of the mayor said to him. And, wow. You know, because the mayors of St. Paul and Minneapolis got together and had this great big police, a major police presence with all these cops dressed in this heavy riot gear. They were pounding their billy clubs into their leather gloves like they were, you know, just ready to beat heads. And people were scared. People with little kids, families had come to this demonstration against the Republicans. And people said, "We don't dare bring our kids to any more demonstrations because it's obvious what these police want to do to us, you know." And this is going on all over the country. I've been to places in Wisconsin and Michigan where the police have shown the same kind of, you know, power. They want to show that they're in control, and they come out
right. Full
riot gear. There might, you know, we had the experience where there were nine of us passing out leaflets at the Ford plant urging public ownership of the Ford plant in St. Paul. And they brought out 75 riot cops in full riot gear. Full riot gear. We asked them for an explanation, and they said, "Well, you're talking about taking over this plant, like nine people are going to take over an auto plant, you know?" And,
right.
But they just wanted to have a show of force to scare and intimidate people, to show people, you know, if you start talking about things like this, this is the response that you're going to get.
Now, what we have seen is we've gone from sequester to moving into more austerity measures, seeing more cops on the street already preparing for, like they're preparing for war. Is this National Defense Authorization Act something to take away our rights and make it so that we are afraid to even speak up for our rights? Does that have anything to do with what they're preparing for, Alan?
Well, everything the government is doing, including what you mentioned, is trying to put pressure on people to keep people from speaking out. They don't want people, you know, writing their views in letters to the editor. They don't want people expressing their views on Facebook or in blogs. And this government has taken, you know, massive measures to try and silence people right now. They're admitting that they're tapping our telephones, that they're reading our emails. Just recently, I think it was Fortune magazine released a whole slew of code words that if you use any of these words on Facebook or any of these other social networking sites, the you know, National Security Agency and stuff is going to hone in on your postings and everything. You know, this is a massive police state that's being set up here in this country, and slowly but surely, you know, these people are getting ready to invoke fascism.
I don't think it's being set up. I think it's already set up.
Well, it's set up, and they haven't really, you know, they're trying to.
It just hasn't been fully implemented.
Yeah, they don't want to fully implement fascism because that's not popular either, but yet it's obvious that they're preparing for that. I think that you know, that people say that, well, fascism can't happen here in this country, and there's been articles written that say, well, you know, Hitler was defeated in World War II. Can fascism ever raise its ugly head again? Well, fascism has raised its ugly head all over the world, like in Chile. And I really think that fascism is raising its ugly head right here in this country right now. And
right.
It's just that they don't need to use their full force, and they're going to wait until they have to do that. And but they're making it known that they will do that, you know.
Now, Alan, I want to just touch a little bit about things that the news media doesn't cover, because the only thing they want to cover is who was the winner on American Idol, and they want to cover what you know, what is going on in your local neighborhood with a police bus or something like that. But we see other things that are very relevant to this government and this economy that's happening in other places around the world, and where our sisters and brothers around the world are already suffering the massive effects of austerity. But just share a little bit about what took place there in Greece. We saw it in the news, and now we don't hear anything about Greece. We see things happening in Spain, but Greece in particular, Italy, all of these countries But what is, tell our listeners a little bit about what took place there in Greece that can be, that could happen right here in the U.S.
Well, there's been massive demonstrations in Greece, and those demonstrations haven't stopped. The people have taken to the streets, and there's been all kinds of strikes in Greece, and the response has been to bring out the police and the army and to beat these people up. And it's pretty obvious that they would like to see a return to fascism in Greece in order to control the people, and the people aren't standing for it. The people know the consequences of fascism, and they're fighting back. I mean, you see it all the time. You know, if you look for it on the Internet, you can see the all-militant workers' front. It's called PAIM. You can look on their website, and you can see how they're leading the fight back in Greece, and that's the arm of the Communist Party in Greece. And the terrible thing, I think, is that the AFL-CIO in this country has joined with the International Confederation of Trade Unions, and they're trying to counter the militancy of the workers in Greece and Portugal and Spain. They're setting up these what they call worker centers in those countries, and they're trying to get people out of the streets and trying to convince them that these social democratic parties will solve their problems, when in fact it was the social democratic parties that led people into this problem to start with. And they're trying to trick people the same way they've been tricking people here in this country. We saw in Wisconsin how the so-called labor leaders pushed people into the Democratic Party and led them to believe that there would be a recall of Scott Walker, and then they copped out of the recall campaign once enough signatures were collected. They didn't even believe that the signatures were going to be collected, but when working people collected those signatures, then these labor leaders backed out of the struggle to recall Scott Walker, and Obama never even showed up to campaign in support of the Democrat that was running for governor against Walker after the recall petitions were submitted. So, you know, we got to look at keeping people in the streets in this country. Out of sight is out of mind, and that's what these people in Wall Street understand. They want to keep the people off of the streets, because when people are on the streets protesting and demanding solutions to their problems, the government has to respond. But if they push people into the Democratic Party as their means to try and solve problems, their problems are never going to be seen again.
Right. A lot of people are still looking at Obama like he's the great hope. And
right.
Obama, he's on the side of the banks. He's on the side of Wall Street. He is doing nothing that's going to benefit workers, the working class, in the long run. And some people say, well, he needs more time. Well, he's already coming close to his first coming to the end of his fifth year in office. How much more time does this president need to fulfill even one of his promises? I haven't seen this president fulfill one promise that he has made since he got into office in 2009. Have you?
Well, the only promises are probably the secret promises that he made with his Wall Street friends that he's fulfilled.
Oh, yeah. He's fulfilled all of those promises.
He hasn't done one single thing for
corrected.
The benefit of people. Yeah, he hasn't done one single thing for working people and poor people in this country. Nothing.
You're right, Alan. I stand corrected. Every promise that he made behind closed doors, he has fulfilled those. Alan, I just want to ask, this sequester that Congress came up, it's actually a joke. But actually, I want to ask you, Alan, is this sequester even legal?
Well, lots of people think that it is, and I don't think that it is. According to
I don't think it's legal.
But our Constitution has essentially been abandoned by these people in Congress and by Obama. The Constitution means nothing to them. And they're rewriting a new Constitution based on the needs of Wall Street. And they're doing it, as we talk now. And our Constitution means nothing to them. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Nothing. Even Obama's own appointment to the United States Supreme Court, she wrote the majority opinion in support of Monsanto.
Uh-huh.
And, so Obama hasn't done anything. You know, people make a big deal, if the Democrats don't get elected, the Supreme Court's going to be appointed by Republicans. But Obama's own Supreme Court appointment made the decision on the Monsanto case. And that was a terrible decision that's going to hurt people for years and years to come. It's going to hurt our health. It's going to hurt the price we pay for food, And in the long run, it's going to threaten our entire food chain. So,
Alan, I just want to ask you, where do socialists go from here? I mean, where is the leadership? We need leadership. I don't see it out there. Do you?
Well, the leadership is going to, when there aren't any leaders, you know, we can't rely on the leaders in the FFL-CIO because they're just pawns of the Democratic Party. And when there are no leaders to be found, when we look around, we have to become the leaders ourselves. And so people in communities and in the plants and factories of this country, the mines and the mills, they're going to have to look around and say, hey, we don't have any leaders. So, you know, we're going to have to assume this leadership responsibility for ourselves. And that's what happened back in the 1930s. Just ordinary working people, the citizens of this country, took it upon themselves to become leaders of huge movements that they ended up creating. And that's what it's going to take right now in this country. People are going to have to look around and say, hey, we got no leaders. We got to do this ourselves. And
Alan, I want to thank you for once again for joining the program and expressing what, when we look at capitalism and we look at austerity measures, the sequester, all of it's connected because capitalism, it is the main factor that is creating all of these austerity measures, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. And thanks for addressing that important subject. Alan, what is your contact information, how people can reach you?
My telephone number is, home telephone is 218-386-2432. I'm on the road a lot, so people can contact me on my cell phone at 651-587-5541. Otherwise, they can check out my blog, the Podunk blog, just by Googling Alan Mackey, A-L-A-N-M-A-K-I, and you'll find my Podunk blog and all my contact information, email, and everything is on there. I'm also on Facebook. They can find me on Facebook.
Well, Alan, once again, I'd like to thank you for joining our program. We'll be expecting and looking forward to hearing from you 2 weeks from now, same time, where we'll be addressing many of these same issues that are affecting working people around the world. Again, I'd like to thank our listeners for joining in to the Socialist Insight, and we look forward to having you to join us once again next week on Monday at 4 o'clock Pacific and 7 o'clock Eastern. Thanks again. Thank you, Alan. Have
Thanks
a good
for
night.
Having me, Stuart.
You're welcome.